Having listened to the Apostle Paul and heard the good news from Jesus, we return back to the pivotal story in Exodus, which we heard echoes of, remembrances of in the 105th Psalm at the beginning of our worship. Just to place this particular scripture in context, in chapter 15, you have the song of joy, which followed the children of Israel having had a way provided through the sea. The water parted, and they arrived safely on the other side, and their enemies destroyed behind them. And they lifted up a joyful song, the song of Moses and Miriam, in chapter 15. And at the end of that chapter, it goes on and talks about their wandering, and they did wander a long time after that. It talks about them going through the wilderness of Shur and ending up at a place called Mara. Mara, called Mara by them because when they got there and they saw water, they drank it and the water was bitter. And the word Mara means bitter. Perhaps you remember the story of Ruth and Naomi in the Old Testament. Naomi, who lost her husband and her children and was surrounded by two daughters in a foreign land. And she was filled with bitterness so much that she said, "Don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara." Bitter. But there at Mara in the wilderness, if you may recall, God called Moses to toss a piece of wood into the water. And it was shifted from bitterness to sweetness. That's all in just a couple paragraphs before this. And then they went from there to a place called Elim, where there were springs of water and 70 palm trees, and they camped there. And then it says at the beginning, and let me just start instead of verse 2 with verse 1 of chapter 16. Listen to the Exodus story at this point. "The whole congregation of the Israelites set out from Elim, and Israel came to the wilderness of Sin." S-I-N. Now, it's not talking about sin as in, you know, wayfaring, but in a way it might. "The wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt." So this is like a month and a half into their journey. "The whole congregation of the Israelites complained," does that sound familiar? "Complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them," and listen here, "the Israelites said to Moses and Aaron, 'If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger.' Then the Lord said to Moses, 'I am going to rain bread from heaven for you. And each day the people will go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not. On the sixth day when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on other days.' So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, 'In the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land in Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaining against the Lord. For what are we that you complain against us?' And Moses said, 'When the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and your fill of bread in the morning, because the Lord has heard the complaining that you utter against him, what are we? Your complaining is not against us, but against the Lord.' Then Moses said to Aaron, 'Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining.' And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked towards the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, 'I have heard,'" this is getting repeated, there must be something important here if it's repeated so many times, "'I have heard the complaining of the Israelites So say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread, and then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. Well, in the evening, quails, kind of bird, isn't it? Quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" Now remember that. What is it? For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather as much of it as each of you needs, an omer," that's a measurement, "to a person according to the number of persons, all providing for those in their own tents." Well, it goes on from there. If only. If only. If only. I know that statement. Do you? There are positive aspects of that. If only. If only. If only I had done this instead of this, this wouldn't have happened. If only I had paid more attention. If only I had been a better, you name it. If only. Remember, there are good aspects to that statement. If we hear it and seek to allow it to color our future instead of pull us back to the past. If only. Too often that statement can lead us to try to recreate something that cannot be recreated. To get us to turn back the clock of time when we know that that cannot happen. To get us to live in a false world when really what we need to do from this point is to live in the world in which we presently find ourselves. If only can be a guide for today and tomorrow, if only we use it wisely. If only the Israelites complained. I like that God heard their complaining. God listens to complaints, you know. In fact, it was the complaint of the children of Israel that led God to pay attention to them in Egypt to start with. It says that they were so oppressed by Pharaoh that they cried out. They complained. It doesn't say they complained to God. It says that they just cried out. And God heard. And the rest is history, the story as we have received it. Here, not long after, God had provided a way through the wilderness, through the sea, parted the waters. I mean, if anybody had proof, according to the story as we have received it, proof of God's greatness and goodness, they did. They had been led out of Egypt with miracles behind them, if you want to call them miracles. You know, all those things that Moses did to convince Pharaoh to let him go. And they did. And they walked away with their arms laden with things that people just gave them. Just get out of here. We don't want you here anymore. And they left, and then Pharaoh had a change of mind and sent his chariots. And God, according to the story as we have received it, what? Put up a pillar of fire that prevented them from coming any closer. When the children came to the edge of the sea, and they're probably complaining a great deal about, what are we going to do now? God parted the water and they walked through. If anybody had proof, it was them. But memory is a funny thing, isn't it? How long does it take for us to forget the good stuff? How long does it take? Apparently a month and a half. That's what it says. They forgot. And all of a sudden, Egypt looks like the Riviera. Did you catch that in the story? Man, if only you'd allowed us to stay back there. You know, things were so good back then. Isn't that how memory goes? We remember what we want to remember and forget what we want to forget. And along the way, we complain. And God hears. Now let's shift from the if onlys, because we all know you can't go back. Can you? You can't step back into the past. I have not yet come across a real-time machine. I mean, there on TV it is, and in the movies, but the past is there as a guide to the future, not to get us to go back. God hears the best out of our complaining, and God provides. And here is the story par excellence of God's providing. There in the wilderness, every day, God provided. It says here, in the evening, what did God give? Anyone? Quail. Not rabbit, Mike, but quail. Quail. Every night. And in the morning, that strange stuff that was like dew carpeting, what was it? Bread. Or another name for it was? Manna. Do you know what manna is in that word? You know, when it says the children of Israel saw this stuff and they picked it up, and what did they say? What is this? You know, in Hebrew, what that is? That word, what is this? Manhu. Manna. Manna means, what's this? Isn't that how it is with God's providence for us, the things that God gives us? We often are wondering, what is this anyway? But God provides. God, in this story and throughout the Bible and even in our life today, God provides our needs. Now note, doesn't say all that we want. We know there's a difference between our needs and our wants. And this is a story about the difference between needs and wants. Because you know what happened when they tried to take what they wanted? What happened? If they took more than what they needed, what happened? The next day, all this, what is it? This manna, what happened to it? It what? Spoiled. It was spoiled. Ugh. It was enough for one day. Except for, was it Friday? What happened on Friday? Anybody remember? The double the amount. And the stuff that they saved for the next day didn't, fade away. God provided for their needs. You know, when we pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us what? Yeah, our manna. Our, what's this? Now, funny thing about this, you know, think about that next time you pray that prayer. And you think about, you know, our daily bread. Think about bread from heaven. Think about manna. Think about how often manna is, what's this? Our daily bread should be like an open question. What is this manna going to be today? What is God going to provide today? Am I going to be surprised for it, with it? Or am I going to be saying, oh, if only, you know the rest of that one. Am I going to live with regret? Am I going to live with remorse? Am I going to live with bitterness? Am I going to live with negativeness? Or am I going to live with surprise and wonder and joy and thanksgiving? What's this going to be this week? Think about it. Enter today and tomorrow and the next day asking, okay, God, what's this?